Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. So today's gospel reading from Mark contains the first verses of the first chapter of Mark. And Mark jumps right in. He lets us know right from the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says that in one loaded sentence, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That pretty much says everything. I mean, in some ways, we could stop right here. I'm not going to, so don't get your hopes up, but we could stop right here. Because it talks about, this is where it all starts. It talks about the good news despite the betrayals, despite the difficulty, despite the pain. This is going to be good news. It talks about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. There's no mincing about who Jesus is. Mark says it right off the bat. And then Mark's gospel immediately goes into the prophet Isaiah, talking about how all this had been foretold. He talks about a voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord." Then we hear of John the Baptizer. We hear of John in the wilderness, how he appeared, how people were just compelled to go out to him, people from the countryside. John must have been making a huge impact on those who encountered him. And we hear about John's appearance, we hear about his words, we hear that he was clothed in camel hair, we hear that he ate locusts and wild honey. John was in the wilderness, and from the description we have a sense that he was of the wilderness. And he was so intent on the message that he came to proclaim. John is quoted as saying, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So I have to confess that I always feel a little uncomfortable when we're talking about John the Baptist. And the reason for that is I read the description, I kind of get this image of John the Baptist, and I truly, deeply question, what would I have done had I encountered John the Baptist? Would I have listened? Would I have shown up for whatever he was saying? Would I have been ready to turn my life around to repent? Or would I have moved as fast as possible in the other direction? Would he have seemed a pretty scary character to me? And this past Monday night was our holiday dinner at MEEC, at Madisonville Education Center. And what we typically do at Redeemer is we prepare food, volunteers show up to serve the food, to do crafts. We have, let me see, I think we're ready for the slides. Yeah, so these were some volunteers with food at Meek. There were many more. This is our Santa. You might find that he looks very much related to Hume Jameson if you look closely, but there's a lot of beard there. And you'll probably recognize our elf. You might recognize that one musician in the front there. But we had a great time with the people of Madisonville. And we were sharing stories at the dinner table. We were sharing stories. And there are two dinner seatings on that Monday night. And in between, Joan Burrow, some member here, said to me, "Have you met the evangelist?" And I said, "No." I said, "You know, who is he?" And so she pointed me to a man standing in the back who was getting dressed, ready to leave. And so I went over and I introduced myself. And pretty soon, I'm understanding that he, Cornell, is truly an evangelist. I only had to say that opening of hello, and he starts talking to me about his faith. And he had been packed up. He was putting on his coat. He was ready to leave, but he starts unpacking. And pretty soon, he pulls a Bible out of his backpack. And this Bible is the most worn Bible I have ever seen. I mean, it was really a thing of beauty to imagine how many times those pages had been touched by his hands. The pages were no longer rectangular. They were smoothed off on the edges. And some pages were falling out. And the cover was taped. We used to give Nancy over there a bad time about her Book of Common Prayer, because her Book of Common Prayer was duct taped. And she swore it was going to get her through her ministry. But your Book of Common Prayer looked pristine compared to this Bible. Again, it was something beautiful just to imagine how much this Bible had been used. And Cornell told me how he had received the Bible. He had received it when he was in prison. And he was in prison, convicted to serve a life sentence for a crime that he did not commit. And he knew he was innocent, but there was no reason to have hope that he would be listened to, that anything would change. And he was given this Bible. And this Bible was his comfort. And he opened the Bible, and there was a verse in the Bible that spoke to him so deeply that things would change, that he would see light again, that his life would be open again. And part of his mind was saying, that can't be. But a couple days later, he was freed. He had no idea anything was in the works, but it became very clear that there had been a misservice of justice, and he was freed. And that became kind of his reckoning that that was God working in his life. That had been God's miracle in his life, and that he needed to dedicate his life serving God. As happens with many of us, you know, there are other challenges. And Cornell encountered another challenge. He encountered a challenge of colon cancer. And he was given a pretty bleak diagnosis. And yet he remained faithful. He did his treatment. And now many years later, he has survived by years anything that was expected for him. Again, he's thankful to God. He's grateful for the life he has. Now, I have to say that Cornell is a striking individual. He's tall and thin and wiry, and he has many layers of clothing. And he's striking in his presence because there's so much energy and passion in his presence, in the message he wants to convey. And as I was standing there talking to him last Monday, I had just read the gospel passage that we heard today. I was starting to think about what we might say today. And as I'm standing there, I'm thinking, okay, is this a prophet? Is this a person who's homeless? Is it both? Is it both? I know he's an evangelist. I'm not sure about all the messages I'm hearing. I have some concern about some of them. What I am certain of, without any question, is that he is a child of God. and that he is dedicating his life to serving God as he understands it. So then, that was Monday. And Cornell, I think, will stay with me for a long time. But Tuesday night, there was another dinner. And actually, when you hear the words I have to say today, you'll think I do nothing but eat. And it has been like that a little bit lately. But Tuesday was another dinner, and this was the Altar Guild dinner. Again, people had prepared food, brought food to share. And again, there were conversations. The conversations were different at the Altar Guild dinner. Conversations ranged from our gratefulness for Fiona, a bright light, Fiona the hippo, who has been a bright light in Cincinnati, and I guess well beyond Cincinnati because of her survival against all odds. But we talked about people we loved, we talked about children, we talked about dogs, we talked about many different things. We laughed and we cried at the dinner table. And while we didn't quote scripture, there was a connectedness, there was a relationship that was acknowledged there with the others that we were sharing stories about and with each other as we shared our experiences in life. So then yesterday here, we had a quiet day. And the quiet day was, it's a tradition here at Redeemer, an Advent quiet day. Mary Lehman led it this year, and it was beautiful. There was that spaciousness of just quiet, of being together in quiet community. We shared food, this time soup from La Soupe, but it was shared in silence. And it was only at the end of the day that we stopped and we talked about our experience. Again, we shared our stories. We shared the stories that were near to our hearts. We shared the stories of our experience of waiting for Christ, of waiting for the light to come into our lives. Then late yesterday evening, I finally got home, and I sent a text to my son to see if he was back. As many of you know, my son, Ryan, lives in Salt Lake City, and he had been in Hong Kong during this past week. He was there ostensibly for a conference, but it was also to see his sister. His sister is serving a life sentence in a prison in Hong Kong, and many of you know that story. But what my son was able to do was see his sister. It was 1 hour of visit. There were two visits in sequential days. And in those visits, they were able to tell their stories. His sister received the baptismal name Grace. She was baptized in that prison. And her calling is to bear witness to God's presence in that place every day. Some of you have been in my office, have seen the artwork. It's the two pieces that are stacked there. And those are some of her beautiful pencil drawings that she does in prison. She devotes herself every day to using her art to communicate about scripture, about God's love, God's presence in her life in that place. There's a poignancy when we know that there will only be 2 hours spread over a couple days, that's spread over a couple years, we're having those conversations. There's a recognition of how precious, how deeply precious time is, and how deeply precious it is for us to be able to be together, to hear each other's stories, to witness what's happening in each other's lives. This Advent, this season of expectancy and waiting and listening, invite each of us to listen and watch for the movement of the Spirit in our own lives and in the lives of others, to be able to hear and bear witness to each other of the miracle of Christ's movement in our lives. Each of us has our stories. Each of us has our stories. And only we can tell. And it means so much when we're able to share them with someone else because it deepens that other person's awareness of Christ's movement, awareness of who the other person is. It's a beautiful thing to share. Each of us is unique. Only we can tell our stories. And we know when we do, we are telling the story of another child of God. Amen.